south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, the strangest things happen when you're in Latin America. Never a dull moment. Let me tell you a little story. Now, Thanksgiving was about a week and a half ago, as per the date of this recording, and what usually happens down here on Thanksgiving is that some 3- and 4-star restaurants and some hotels and such offer what they deem is a gringo-style complete Thanksgiving dinner. Because they figure even off the gringo tourist trail, if there aren't enough gringos, there are plenty of gringo wannabes. And you know, gringos do get sucked into events like that because they're homesick, are nostalgic, or just up for the party. So, if you happen to be in a medium to large size city, or definitely if you're on a tourist trail, you'll see those gringo holiday celebrations more and more. Now, 10 or 20 years ago, you hardly saw it. But these days, you'll see notable first world restaurants like the Clarion, Radisson, Intercontinental, Holiday Inn, etc., catering to all the gringo holiday festivities, and they'll advertise them in the local newspapers a couple of days ahead of the event. And since I'm doing my January 2016 Latin Insider Seminar, I'm in and around Guatemala myself. So I decided to shoot off some emails to some former seminar attendees that are hanging around this area. Basically, the email said, why not let's all get together at one of these big hotels and have ourselves a Thanksgiving party? I mean, let's face it, we have a lot to be thankful for. Look, we all voted with our feet and we're no longer in Obama land. If that's not something to celebrate, I don't know what is. So anyway, that night, about 15 expats showed up. We had our big table in the hotel dining room. It wasn't a huge room, but it was a full house. I'd say 100 or more people in all. And surprisingly enough, for a pure first world gringo holiday, we were the only gringos there because, well, we're way off the gringo tourist trail, as I like to be. Anyway, at first it looked like we were the only gringos there. And we were. Almost. Now, let me set this up. It was a full buffet Thanksgiving spread, about $20 a plate, so only gringos and gringo wannabes with a little dough could afford to make it. And as usual, this being Latin America, some of the details were wanting. For example, when you got up to go to the buffet, you'd wait at least 15 minutes in line, no matter how many times you went back. You'll see it yourself when you get down here. It seems like Latins and lines go together like water and chocolate. You'll see, they just have unlimited patience for lines, no matter how long they are. And I'm sure they get that unflagging calm and patience from having to stand in government lines all their lives. So it's just second nature to them. In fact, I think some Latins are just looking for someone to stand behind. In other words, they just don't feel comfortable without being in a line somewhere. Anyway, being that this Thanksgiving event was at a first world hotel, a kind of run-down first world hotel, you think with all the banquets and weddings they give, they'd have that line thing under control. Well, they didn't. You know, if you went back a few times, like with any Thanksgiving feast, I mean, you do pig out at those things, you could easily spend a half an hour to an hour total in that line. But that's not the point of the story. The first time I went into the line, I ended up standing there holding a plate for at least 20 minutes. And since I was fashionably late to that party, I was standing in that line while my gringo buddies sitting at the table had already been through at least once. So, I don't know anybody in the line. And since all the other people in the line were Latin Americans, I was the tallest one there, as usual. Except for a tall guy standing right behind me. Guess what? A lone gringo. So, our little group of 15 expats were not the only gringos in the house. So, as things go, we two gringos who don't know each other at all are standing in the line, and so he used this little icebreaker on me. He said, hey, guess we're the only gringos here, huh? I said, not quite. I'm at a table over there in the corner with about 15 gringos. He seemed surprised, and he said, oh yeah? You know, I'm here with my wife. And I said, is she a gringo too? And he said, no. Half Honduran and half Nicaraguan. By the way, let me describe what this guy looked like. He was a tall, skinny guy, maybe 6'1", 6'2", maybe 160, 70 pounds, a straight arrow type, a little bit longish hair, and I could tell He died it. In fact, it was an obvious bad dye job, though I'm sure no one ever clued him in, not even his Latina wife. Least of all his Latina wife. Oh, and by the way, Latinas with gringo husbands or gringo boyfriends are very non-judgmental. I'm serious. Even if you're a kind of rough around the edges backpacker, your Latin girlfriend will never be harsh on you about the way you look or the way you do things because, well, you got that gringo advantage going for you. That's another story. It's a big story, too, though we won't get into that right now. Maybe in a later show. If enough of you listeners out there send me emails and want to hear about Latin, gringo, mating, dating, and relationship stuff. Now, I know that can be a touchy subject, especially with the PC crowd, but we'll have none of that politically correct BS here. So, if you want me to talk about it, I will. So anyway, this gringo guy standing next to me had some really awful hair. You know, having a bad Trump day. Now, you know how you can tell when an older guy dyes his hair way too dark for his pasty skin tone? The hallmark of a bad dye job is when the color is absolutely solid. No variations in color tone like normal hair. Hey, I'm no expert, but it could have been a wig. Who knows? Anyway, the next thing he says is the usual gringo cliche. What are you doing down here? And I fed him a little bit of disinformation. I told him I was with my gringo group over there, and we were down here building outhouses for Jesus. And he looked surprised. He said, I never would have known. You don't have matching polo shirts with your church missions logo on it. And I laughed and said, okay, busted. You see, he got it right. All the do-gooders and missionary groups that come down have matching t-shirts or logos on their polo shirts. You know, there really is some kind of competition between do-gooders down here. You gotta see it to believe it. Like, for example, St. John's Lutheran Mission, Cleveland. They've got beautiful hand-stitched polo t-shirts with a little white dove and a handshake logo. I've actually rubbed shoulders with about 30 of those guys coming in at the airport. How'd you like to be stuck in the cheap seats with those guys singing 500 verses of Michael Rowed the Boat Ashore? Then imagine how many beers or shots of tequila it's going to take to get that damn song out of your head. But I digress as usual. Anyway, back to that tall gringo with the bad hair. Then I said, what are you doing down here? And he said, he's got about 2 months to go on his job down here, and he's retiring and moving here permanently, but for now he's renting. He said he's waiting for the real estate bubble to blow, and he's going to either build or buy. I said, yeah, isn't it funny how it seems only the gringos that come down here for a while and look around notice there's a huge real estate bubble just waiting to burst? He said, yeah, I know, I've been down here long enough to figure that out. Then he said, I'm just waiting for my pension and my retirement. Starts in about 2 months. Turns out he didn't have to retire. They offered him a very plum job in that cesspool, Washington, D.C. Those are his words. And I'm thinking, man, he's got bad hair, but he's a guy after my own heart. He said, I won't even go back for a funeral. That place is absolutely falling apart. It's just a matter of time, he said, and the whole damn country's going down for the count. Then I said, yeah, you got that right. Which tipping point you think's going to go first? Then he said, definitely the U.S. dollar. The Chinese and the Russians are wising up that it's just fiat money. It's just paper. And once they're fully out of the petrodollar and hooked in with the BRICS countries, that's the end, he says, for the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. Then I asked him, so what do you do down here? Are you involved in finance or economics? What's your line? Then he looked around as if thinking someone was spying on him, and he said, in a low, subdued kind of voice, don't tell anyone, but I'm one of those embassy guys. Ambassador type, huh? That's what I said. And he just nodded. So I was forced to say, wait a minute. You're telling me you're so sure the U.S. is going to crash and burn that you're never going to go back and you're going to live down here permanently? And he said, that's right. Then I said, well, how many years you been doing this? He says, well, I've been in a diplomatic corps for 30 years. Then I said, you really must be the odd man out with those kind of thoughts floating around in your head. Then he said, nope. You'd be surprised how many of us posted overseas feel exactly the same way. Then I said, surely that's not the party line. Who do you talk about that stuff with? He said, well, you learn very early on when you walk past that very first guard at the gate, you check your brain at the door. I kid you not, those were his exact words. Oh, and by the way, he said for the last couple of years, he'd been living in a suite, always in a 4-star hotel at whatever Latin embassy he happens to be attached to. Now, you know, I met a lot of embassy types over the years, and I've been invited to a lot of their parties and places where they gather, and I never heard the following little tidbit. He says In cities where U.S. embassies are located, the U.S. State Department permanently rents a number of townhouses and condos near the embassy. That's always the high-rent district. And if you're a high-level embassy guy like him or a diplomat, they give you free housing, of course, and they give you a choice of a number of these nice apartments to live in. However, if you don't like those apartments or apartment living in general, you get the choice of living in a 4-star hotel in the nicest section of town. And this guy said, screw it. All the smart embassy guys take the 4-star hotel every time because of the sauna, the steam baths, the pool, the 24-hour kitchen and room service, and maid service every day. Who would ever want to trade those conveniences for an apartment, no matter how nice it was? So there's another fine example of your tax dollar at work, huh? Now, I have to say, this guy was subtly trying to get information out of me, too. I guess that goes with the job. So I fed him some disinformation, and as expat Eddie would say, I polished the turd, and he seemed satisfied with that. Anyway, when I got back to my little gringo expat table, I mentioned there was an embassy guy in the house. So I told some of the expats at that table what that guy's story was. And I kind of stealthily indicated where that guy was sitting. You could see him in the other room through the glass. And yes, this 60-something guy had a beautiful, young, 30-something Latino wife. Now, that aside, it really is kind of refreshing to know that government types down here sucking at the taxpayer trough aren't all mindless, pinheaded lemmings. They actually get it. Now, that kind of talk might be refreshing to us expats. However, if I was living up in the States and knew that kind of info, it would scare the hell out of me. Like this guy said, you keep your mouth shut at work and check your brain at the door. Otherwise, you won't get promoted and you won't get that fat pension. Oh, and by the way, when I was standing in line, that guy mentioned he had a nice, pretty, young Latina wife and gave me a wink. Then I said, yep, that's part of the gringo advantage. Then he scratched his head and said, gringo advantage? Good one. Gotta remember that. Obviously, he doesn't listen to this show. Probably a good thing, too. So, moral of that story is, of course, some people high up in the U.S. government do not believe the party line or eat the slop they're feeding everyone else. Apparently, there's some people stationed at embassies who see the collapse coming and they're not going back. Does it surprise you that some of these guys have their own plan B and they're gonna permanently live in Latin America? Well, it shouldn't. They're closer to the beast and they know a lot more than we do. Even so, I'd rather not make friends with, much less live within 100 miles of a guy like that. Can't be too careful, you know. Okay, moving on here. I'd like to comment on a news article that's been floating around on the internet, on the Huffington Post, Google, and Yahoo News and all that. I'm sure you've probably seen it too. To me, it just shows that you're living in kind of a bizarro parallel universe up there, and I'm kind of living in a universe that's set maybe 30, 40, even 50 years in the past. In some respects, anyway. That said, you remember this story, don't you? Some guy posted what a lot of feminists and other people called a totally sexist help wanted ad. It wasn't a joke. It showed up on many serious business internet sites, including LinkedIn. As a result, since his mug is all over Facebook and Twitter and those pathetic social sites, he'll never live that down and women will be spitting in his face for the rest of his life. Oh, and by the way, speaking of the cases where first world people's names and reputations are sullied by whatever. Divorce, bankruptcy, trouble with the IRS, trouble with the feds, loan sharks, the mob, exes, maybe you beheaded your mother-in-law, whatever. Or even if you're an innocent victim of circumstances, you could come down to Latin America, change your name, get residency, then a passport, SA corporations, etc. In other words, lower your profile and get a brand new life. All, of course, perfectly legal. Maybe not in the States, but down here it is. Anyway, talking about that guy who put a so-called sexist help wanted ad on LinkedIn. Well, guess what? I just happen to have a Latin American big city daily newspaper in my hand. So right now, I'll go to the yellow pages in the help wanted section. I'll translate a few of these ads for you. And you tell me how many microseconds it would take for the person responsible for writing an ad like this to end up in court. Now, you could never get away with this kind of stuff in the States, but down here, perfectly legal and nobody seems to care. Oh, and by the way, did you know that down here in Latin America, parents actually whoop their kids? Now, I don't mean they whoop them until they bleed or they bruise or they suffer internal injuries. I mean kids who misbehave sometimes actually get spanked. And, of course, then the next-door neighbors are appalled, and they call social services, and they show up in 15 minutes, take the kids away, put mom or dad in a halfway house for a couple of nights to cool off, and then there's a court date set. Yeah, right, in your dreams, man. Anyway, let me read you some of these help-wanted classified ads now, and you tell me if this doesn't seem like it's coming from a parallel universe. In fact, the legal staff on any newspaper would never let any of these fly, not in the States. Here's the first one, and I'll translate here. Position open for bilingual secretary. Good salary, benefits, must not be a recent graduate, must be no more than 30 years old. See any problem with that? How about this one? This company says, wanted, assistant to the human resources person. Requisitos, which means prerequisites. Must be between the age of 20 and 30, must be female, with excellent presentation, send CV, headshots, and full body photos. Okay, now, could you ever get away with that up in Cleveland? How about this one? Medical supply salesperson wanted. Feminina, which means female. Must be extroverted, age 24 to 35. Minimum height, 1.6 meters, which is 5'2". So there we've got age, sex, and height discrimination. How about that? Here's one. Hostess wanted for a high-end restaurant. Evenings only. Female, 18 to 35 years old. Minimum estatura, that's height, 1.6 meters, that's 5'2". Delgada, sin compromisos. Now, what that means is she can't be married or have any kids or even be engaged to a guy. Sin compromisos. Literally, that means without compromises. Believe me, this is not a joke. These are normal help-wanted ads. Okay, so you've got age, sex, height, as well as marriage status discrimination going on in this ad. Have you heard of that one before? How about this ad? Receptionist and Girl Friday wanted for Hotel Beach Resort. Must live no more than 5 kilometers from the property. Must be a Christian with pelo liso, that means straightened hair. Again, it says sin compromisos, which means no kids, no husband, like the last ad. So here we've got age, sex, marital status, hair quality, religion, and distance discrimination, all in one little want ad. Whoa! Oh, and why do some of these want ads say you must live within a certain distance from the job site? Well, that's an easy one. Latins, being notoriously late and on mañana time, then can't use that excuse that there was too much traffic or the bus was broken down or didn't come. No excuse, they can just walk to work. Here's another one, assistant to the credit and collection department of a big chain of retail stores. They want a lady, feminina, chispudo. Now, chispudo means someone with a lot of energy, a self-starter. Must be católico, that means Catholic, of course. And then it says, you must have your own car. Now, if you think some of those ads were kind of outrageous, listen to this one. It says, and I'll translate again, upscale woman's beauty salon and health spa, looking to hire 2 experienced stylists. It says estilistas here. That would be female stylists. Pelo liso, which means must have straight hair. Preferably canche, means light-skinned. Holy crap, you put that in a first-world newspaper and they'd tar and feather you. But that's not all. This help-wanted ad also says, no sobrepeso. That means no overweight ladies need apply. Now, here's one for a salesperson's job, and it's a woman's job, too. Must be Christian again, aged 20 to 35 on this one. But it says, must have a carro del año. Carro del año. That means you must have a new or light new car. Well, I'll tell you, that's very, very restrictive because it eliminates probably 99 out of 1,000 Latinas. So there you have it. Pick up any Latin American big city newspaper and you'll find help wanted ads exactly like I've been reading. They're never challenged. In fact, it's a non-issue. So then, what about the feminist organizations in Latin America? Yep, they do exist. And yes, in all Latin American cities, especially on college campuses, there are small groups of Latin American feminists. But being brought up in a macho society and culture, they don't bother with the want ads. They go after a lot more severe abuses. In fact, over the last year or two, I've spoken to a couple of Latin American college-age feminists, and each one of them freely admits they get no respect, they get heckled, they're the black sheep of the family. Why? because their brothers, fathers, uncles, grandfathers, even their boyfriends and sometimes husbands are macho to the bone themselves. So feminist movement lag time down here? It's hard to believe, but I'd say 30, 40, even 50 years. Oh, by the way, when it comes to equal pay for equal work down here, nope, it's not in their vocabulary. Sorry, ladies. However, if you're coming down here on a very low budget and you're kind of broke and you have to pick up a job fast, you can get a call center job or an English teaching job in a helicopter school. In those two career fields, males and females do get equal pay. However, that's not much consolation. Starting pay for English teachers and call center jobs are only around $400 to $600 a month. Now, remember I started out this little bit today by saying that sometimes when you're down here, you think you're in a parallel universe. That said, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting at somebody's house, and of course, they got the TV going all day, telenovelas, soap operas, and all that. And generally, every half hour or so, you get local, national, and international news. Though the news presenters and telecasters are embarrassingly pathetic, not even rank amateurs. That said, sometimes they have some great, even spectacular news footage. Like, for example, a couple of weeks ago, I saw yet more footage of a little town in Honduras where the whole town came out, must have been 400 or 500 people, to watch a big exciting event happening in the Central Park. Oh, and by the way, no matter if you're in a city of millions, hundreds of thousands, or just a few hundred, the cities are always set up the same. There'll be a Central Park and that'll be ground zero. And that park, always bordered by a church and a number of government buildings. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I saw some footage of a small town in Honduras where an indigenous lady was the center of attention in the middle of the Central Park. It was midday, and the whole town turned out to watch her beat on another lady. Yep, she had a switch in her hand, a stick about 2 feet long and about maybe a half inch wide. And she was beating on the backside and the back of another lady who was down on all fours. And of course, in small out-of-the-way towns and villages in Latin America, that's a sort of common public castigation or punishment. Now, the lady that was getting her ass whooped in front of the whole town, turns out she was a three-time offender, breaking and entering. And I guess in this town, three strikes, you're out. I mean, literally knocked out. So that's what they call the unwritten indigenous code of law down here. Now, it's not that these little towns don't have cops. They usually have a tiny little station and two or three guys sitting on their dead asses watching TV or reading the newspaper, if they can read. Since generally the patrol car is broken down or they don't have any gas for the day. That's why when enough is enough, the locals take the law into their own hands and the cops stay out of it. That's why down here every so often you read about the occasional stoning or lynching. Now, that doesn't mean an actual hanging. It's just the public's rage against a criminal repeat offender. Once I was actually in a town where a dad beat the hell out of his own delinquent kid in the Central Park Square with about 100 people standing around watching. Sure, you might think that's cruel and inhumane, but all you expat gonna-bes and wannabes up there, the ones that never laid a hand on your kid or castigated him in any way, just one question, how'd they turn out? But I digress as usual. By the way, like I've said many times before, you can't go anywhere in Latin America without seeing English language t-shirts and clothing items. And I mean everyone wears them. So truly, 100% of Latins have articles of clothing like that. And 98% of those people wearing them have no idea what the words say. Now, the other day I saw such a t-shirt with a saying that was quite profound. It was in English, of course, and here's what it said. If you want someone to speak ill of you, lend him some money. I mean, come on, truer words were never spoken. So, has that ever happened to you? Of course it has. It's a subject I've mentioned before on the show, only because when you come down here as expat gringos, you are going to get hit up for loans. Be prepared for that. It happens to all of us gringo expats. So, count on Latins trying to hit you up for a loan. That doesn't mean gringos won't try to hit you up too. Though, with gringos, it depends on the company you keep. What I'm saying is, you're considered the rich gringo, so all classes of Latins will try to hit you up. Trust me. I'm talking about the cleaning lady, to the maintenance guy, to your next-door neighbor who's got a nice house, kids in a helicopter school, and a Mercedes-Benz. The fact is, just last week I was talking to one of my English teacher friends again, and he said he was in the office at his helicopter school, and he happened to see the tuition delinquency report. And he said there were names on that list that would just shock you. People that were behind a whole year in their tuition payments for their kids, but still managing to make that yearly shopping trip to Miami. In fact, the one thing you learn about Latin American people in money and finance and the way they manage and mismanage their accounts, I'm talking about credit cards, bank accounts, payment plans, etc. Somehow, Latin people have no shame about being terribly delinquent on their bills. Even the most upscale families will get their water or electricity shut off on occasion because they haven't paid the bill in a couple months. It just seems like the whole damn society is living on the edge from day to day. So why wouldn't they hit up a so-called rich gringo for the occasional loan? Now, you might remember I mentioned in a past show, I was driving into an upscale residential community. I mean, really upscale. Cameras everywhere, well-trained guards in nice uniforms, riding around the subdivision on bikes, checking everything out. Beautiful gardening, great lighting, wide, expansive roads. Yet, when you drive in, there's a bulletin board that's got a list of about 30 people who are over 3 months delinquent on their maintenance bill. Yep, full names and house numbers. Now, would that not be embarrassing to you? Everyone in the whole place, plus all the visitors and the workers and the delivery trucks coming through, seeing exactly who the deadbeat families are. Now, to really drive the point home, how really deep Latins are in debt with this new credit card society they have. You know, 20 years ago, no one had a credit card. Now, every middle-class person and above has 5 credit cards stuffed in his wallet, and they're all maxed out. Well, the other day, I was at a very upscale shopping mall where they had valet parking. Costs a whole buck to have valet parking, and guess what? They got a big sign that says, "We take Visa." And I walked up to the guy who's handling the valet parking booth, and I said, "You're kidding, right, about taking Visa?" And he said, "No. About a quarter of the customers put their $1 parking charge on their Visa card." Are you getting this? Let that sink in. Valet parking costs a buck, and they put it on their Visa card. I know. It's for those Delta Air miles, right? That said, we're nearing the end of the show, and I have to mention my January 2016 Latin Insider Seminar. You can still sign up by going to www.thenewexpat.com. Just click on the link that says Johnny's 2016 Latin Seminar for full information. Get your Plan B in action before it's too late. And don't forget to check out my new YouTube channel. You'll definitely get a kick out of the slideshow that follows along with the Expat Files audio. And when you're there, don't forget to subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.